In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, tonight as we continue our novena in honor of the Immaculate Conception, there's an invitation that I was given to share a few thoughts about the reality of the Assumption of Our Lady into heaven, body and soul. So I've been told that every evening you're having a slightly different theme in relation to this novena. Well, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary was defined by Pope Pius XII on November 1 in 1950. And this definition itself, use of papal infallibility, was very late in our history, of course. But that definition does not mean that the understanding of the Assumption of Our Lady, body and soul, was anything new. In fact, leading up to the declaration of the dogma itself, Pius XII asked a number of people, and the bishops themselves, their own opinion and their own view of this well-known doctrine of the Church. And of course, there were many people sending requests that this doctrine be defined in a dogmatic manner. And of course, when we're talking about dogma, we're talking about the fact that it must be accepted as true by all. So there are a few things that Pius XII spoke about in his definition of the dogma of the Assumption. And he said, ultimately, our reference has to go back to Scripture. And in saying that, he meant that the Scriptures themselves give us some interesting pictures of Our Lady. And many of those pieces of Scripture are used liturgically to emphasize something of Our Lady, and especially in terms of her Immaculate Conception. In this case, it's the dogma of the Assumption. But the emphasis he gave came from the letter to the Corinthians, the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. He uses this to show the relationship between Mary, the new Eve, and Christ, the new Adam. And I'm sure that this is something that you're very familiar with. And he said this in his dogmatic definition of the Assumption, in the letter itself. He said, when the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Pius XII wanted to emphasize the fact that just as Christ's glorious resurrection was the essential agent of this victory, it's true also that Mary, the new Eve, who had so great and indispensable a role in the struggle, should most fittingly share in the victory of her Son, that victory over sin and death, through her glorification, her participation in the heavenly banquet, bodily and, of course, the soul. So there are many references to Scripture that can be used, but that was one of the most important that he used, that relationship between Mary, the new Eve, and of course Christ, the new Adam. The doctrine of the Assumption was something that was adhered to by the fathers of the Church in various ways. And perhaps we could summarize the fathers of the Church in their defense of the Assumption of Mary in two ways. The first was, since Mary was sinless and had a perpetual virginity, and she was perpetually virgin, She could not suffer bodily deterioration, the result of original sin. So that's the first thing. Remember, Mary's integrity was there, is always there. And secondly, if Mary bore Christ and played an intimate role in his as his mother in the redemption of mankind, then she must likewise share body and soul in his resurrection and glorification. So there's just a little beginning, the sense of the patristic writings. From the 5th century, I found out that there was a memorial dedicated to Our Lady, celebrated in the liturgy, noting all the privileges that she had in virtue of her divine motherhood. So this memorial developed, and this feast eventually came known to be known as the Koinesis, or the Dormitio of Our Lady, the Dormition. And that Dormition meaning the falling asleep of Our Lady. And this was celebrated throughout the Byzantine Empire on August 15, by the 6th century. And so remember, the liturgy itself was very important to the people in the sense that they didn't have Bibles, they didn't have any of this. They had understanding of the Catholic faith came primarily through the liturgy. And those liturgical documents remain for our prosperity, some of them. Perhaps the most important evidence in support of the assumption can be given to us. It came down to us from St. John Damascene. He died in 749, and he gave three famous sermons on the feast of Our Lady's Assumption into Heaven. I thought I'd share just a little bit of his writings, his own sermons. Here's a section here. To the temple of the Lord, not made by hands, there today has come to rest Mary, a holy tabernacle, re-enlivened by the living God. David, her father, rejoices, and with him choirs of angels, for today the Immaculate Virgin, undefiled by earthly affection, whose nourishment was heavenly thoughts, returns not again to the world with re-enlivened body, but is assumed into the tabernacles of heaven. How could that one taste death, from whom the true life flowed out to all? Yet she did fall under the law afflicted by him whom she bore, and as a daughter of the old Adam, she suffered the old sentence of death, even as her son, who is life itself. But now, as mother of the living God, she is fittingly taken up to heaven by him. For how could death feed on this truly blessed one, who had eagerly listened to the word of God, who at the angel's salutation, filled with the Holy Spirit, conceived the Son of God, who without pain gave birth to him, whose whole being was ever consecrated to her Creator? Could hell receive such a one? Could corruption destroy a body in which life had been brought forth? Just a little sample of St. John Damascene's words, known as the Doctor of the Assumption. And so St. John Damascene gives us a great understanding that Mary was assumed into heaven, body and soul. I skipped through the scholastics, but I thought I'd say a few words about the dogma of the Assumption itself. So on November 1, 1950, Pope Pius XII said this: "We pronounce, declare and define it to be a divinely revealed dogma that the Immaculate Mother of God, the ever-Virgin Mary, having completed the course of her earthly life, was assumed body and soul into heavenly glory." The subject of this definition expresses the dogmas of Mary's Immaculate Conception, her motherhood of God, and her perpetual virginity. Pope Pius XII judiciously left open to further theological investigation and discussion whether or not Mary actually experienced death before being taken up into heaven, with the phrase, having completed the course of her earthly life. The words of the solemn definition, body and soul, teach that Mary has been glorified in her complete human personhood. Because Mary is the Immaculate Conception, her integrity remains intact, preserved from any stain of sin, whether it be original or actual. It is fitting that her body did not see corruption. Here are just a few final thoughts in relation to the reality of the Assumption. First of all, the Blessed Virgin Mary assumed body and soul into heaven reminds us that our permanent abode is not here on earth, but in heaven. We are citizens of heaven. We are made for God. Secondly, the Assumption of Mary is a strong appeal to us to live ever intent upon heavenly things, and not to allow ourselves to be carried away by the seductions of this world. In Mary assumed into heaven, we find the total glorification of her humanity. And that means that that which has been realized in her will only be realized for all the saints at the end of time. She already participates in that fullness of redemption, salvation. So just a final few thoughts from Saint Maximilian Kolbe. As you know, Saint Maximilian is known as the Martyr of Charity. And he dedicated his life to serving Christ and the Immaculate Conception, whom he addressed lovingly as the Immaculata. And so here a little focus on the Immaculate Conception, which of course is very much related to the Assumption. Maximilian said, "The Immaculata never had any stain of sin, which means that her love was always full, without flaws. She loved God with all her being, and love united her with God in this perfect fashion from the first instant of her life. The Immaculata is a creature of God. She is the property of God, the semblance of the image of God, the daughter of God, in the most perfect way possible for a human being. She is God's instrument. In full awareness, she lets herself be guided by God. She conforms to His will. She desires only what He wants. She operates in accordance with His will and in the most perfect way possible, without the slightest blemish, without any deviation of her will from His. The Father entrusts His own Son to her. The Son descends into her womb, while the Holy Spirit, from the body of her, shapes the most holy body of Jesus. Mary, the Immaculate Conception, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen."